My name is Karen Steven. I am the executive pastor here at Pursue Church, and I want to tell you that I am super excited that you guys joined us this morning. It's good to see you. And you know, like they mentioned, this is our last Sunday before we start the Christmas season. I love Christmas. I've said it before, but I love Christmas. It's so such a beautiful time of the year. And you know, I know there's some religions that don't really celebrate Christmas. We do. We celebrate Christmas. And it's not because of the date, because, you know, truthfully, the Bible doesn't give us a specific date that Jesus was born. But it's not about the date, y'all. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because you know what? If there was no birth, there was no death on the cross. And the cross changes everything. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? Let me just pray for us before I get started. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. You are so good. You love us so much that you woke every single one of us up in enough time to get here, Lord, to worship you. And I thank you, Father, for those that answered the call to worship this morning. Lord, I pray that you speak through me. Get me out of the way, Lord. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the breath of my lungs. I surrender it all to you, Father. Have your way. And I pray that the words I speak come straight from you and land directly where you want them to go. I pray for fertile ground in our hearts today, Father, so that we leave here different than when we got here. We love you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt stuck? Like you're stuck in some kind of holding pattern. You know, you just can't seem to get past that. Maybe it's a habit. You know, maybe it's a way of doing things. You know, you know you need to change some things, but you just can't seem to get past that because you're stuck. Has anybody ever been there? I think we've all been there. And some of us are still there. Some of us are still struggling with some things that we just can't seem to get past. You know, so today I want to talk a little bit about how to get unstuck. So if you brought your Bibles, open them up. We're going to go to the New Testament, John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. I don't hear no pages turning. Okay, that's all right. I'll do it for y'all. John chapter 5. And this is a story of a man who was stuck for a long time. Basically, most of his life, he was stuck. So, y'all there yet? Yeah. John chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 1. Let's read it together. This is what it says. Later on, there was a Jewish feast or festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda. And it has five porticos or columns. In these porticos lay a great number of people who were sick, blind, withered, waiting for the stirring of the water. Because there was an angel of the Lord that went down into the pool at appointed seasons and stirred up the water. And the first one to get in the water after it was stirred was healed of his disease. Now I need to take a pause here. It not necessarily was an angel of the Lord. That was what they believed. Right? That was kind of like a superstitious belief at the time. The water did move, but there's no record that it was actually an angel of the Lord doing the stirring. So let's clear that up. Let's keep going. Verse 5. There was a certain man who had been there ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, y'all, laying there helpless, knowing Jesus knew that he had been in that condition for a long time, he said to the man, "Do you want to get well?" The invalid answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet or mat, and walk." Immediately, the man was healed and recovered his strength. And he picked up his pallet and walked. Then it goes on to say, now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. And you're not permitted to pick up your pallet," because that was against the law. He answered them, "Well, the man who healed me and gave me back my strength was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Well, who's this man that told you that?" Now the man They had asked the man who had been healed, who told you that? And the man who had been healed, he didn't know who it was because Jesus had slipped away unnoticed since there was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found this man in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, this story is so deep, y'all. I just have to tell you, I struggled to stay focused on what I believe God wanted me to tell y'all this morning. Because this story is really deep. There's allegory all throughout. It starts off with that. It says, we read about the sheep gate. Well, the sheep gate was the gate that they led the sheep through that were going to the temple to be sacrificed for their atonement. That's number one. And then you got the pool called Bethesda. Well, Bethesda means house of mercy, which is exactly what Jesus showed this man. And then it says the place had five porticos. Well, the number five biblically illustrates or symbolizes God's grace, his goodness, and his favor. So there's so much more to this story. But today, I believe God wanted me to focus on telling you guys how to get unstuck. Because we're all stuck in one area or another of our lives from time to time. And you know, this man, this poor guy was stuck in his circumstances for 38 years. Who in here is under 38? Who in here is over 38? Yeah, it's a long time. Bottom line, long time. And you know what? Not only was this man stuck, but he was feeling sorry for himself. He was living as a victim. And y'all, that can happen when we get stuck. And when Jesus approached him, he asked the man one very interesting question. Do you want to get well? Now, the word actually translates not to well, but to whole. So Jesus asked the man, do you want to be whole? Because look here. Jesus knew this man was suffering from more than just one thing. There were several things going on with this guy that he needed to be healed from. They were keeping him stuck. And you know what? It's usually like that with us too when we get stuck. So today I want to give you five ways to get unstuck. And the first way, y'all buckle up, okay? First way, identify false assumptions in your life. See, this man had been stuck for 38 years because of his false assumptions. The first assumption was that if he wanted to be healed, he had to get in the water. That was the only way it was going to happen. How many of you are believing false assumptions? Like, if you had a higher paying job, then your life would be better. Or if my spouse would just stop doing that, then I'd be happy. And here's a really good one. I'm going to mess with some of y'all. I'm this way because this is how I was raised. If you want to get unstuck, you have to identify false assumptions in your life. Because when we don't, we start to believe a false narrative. And then when that happens, we end up coming into an agreement with a lie. Let me go next step. Who's the father of all lies? Satan himself. So when we're coming into an agreement with a false narrative, believing a lie, we're coming into agreement with the enemy. He's the one lying to us. And you know why he offers us false assumptions, y'all? Because he's hoping we're going to take the bait and fall for it. Because when we do that, we start believing his lies. That'll keep us stuck. And Satan knows that that will destroy our destiny. This man at the pool of Bethesda had a false assumption that the water was his solution. But Jesus knew the water was actually his problem. You see, this man had his eyes on the water, the bubbles, who was getting in front of him. He wasn't focused on Jesus at all. Friends, we got to get this in our hearts, deep in our spirits. Jesus doesn't have what you need. He is what you need. What we need to be whole is Jesus. That's it. That's real simple. And the next thing you need to do after you get rid of false assumptions is ask the hard questions. Jesus asked this man a really hard question. Do you want to be well? Jesus didn't ask him how he got there. He didn't ask him, well, how come you don't have nobody to help you? He didn't even ask him what his condition was. No, Jesus asked a hard question that spoke to the desire of the man. And you know, it almost seems a little, that's kind of rough. That's kind of savage, Jesus. Of course this guy wants to get better, right? But the truth is, not everyone wants to get unstuck. When you've tolerated dysfunction so long, it starts to feel normal. So you know what? You question anything that messes with your normal. Am I talking to somebody this morning? This is exactly why people keep repeating a dysfunction that they grew up with, because it seems normal. Let me tell you something. All generational curses seem normal. They've been in your bloodline. They're generational curses. And if someone, and look, even if you're able to recognize that the way you're living or doing is dysfunctional, when it seems normal, you're going to stay stuck in it. And you'll do it to justify your behavior. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you're willing to ask that hard question, how bad do you want to be free? It's hard. And the reason it's hard is because sometimes the answer means you're going to have to face some things. And you're going to have to work through them with God. Change isn't easy, y'all. It requires something of us. But if we're ever going to get unstuck, we have to get to the point where we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. When I came back to Jesus, it was because I had tried everything else in my life and I was stuck. My life was a hot mess. I kept hitting the wall, whether it was in work, in relationships. I was had an alcohol issue, and nothing was working out, y'all. Nothing. I was stuck. But I wasn't stupid. Okay, I knew that if my life was going to change, I had to do things differently. I couldn't keep living that way. And you know what? I wanted to change. If you want to get unstuck from old behavior patterns, you have to actually want to change. Because let me tell you something. Jesus can't take you somewhere new if you won't leave where you are. That's good. You can't get well against your will.
That's right. Say that again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to say it again. Yeah. You can't get well against your will. Look here. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, waiting for you to open the door. And if you will listen to my voice and open the door, then I'll come in and restore you and I'll be with you. Right. Jesus wants to make you whole, but you have to want it too. So the hard question to ask yourself is, how bad do you want things to change? Then you got to ask yourself the next hard question. What are you waiting for? When you start to want to change, don't be surprised if there's not a voice whispering in your ear, you got time. You've always got tomorrow. You can change tomorrow. Don't fall for that. That's a lie. That's a lie meant to keep you in bondage. Because the truth is, though, none of us know if tomorrow's even coming.
That's right. That's right.
Don't live by the false assumption that there's always going to be tomorrow to change. Yeah. Yes. You got to do the scary things now.
Yeah.
That's my second point. Do the scary things now. And the first scary thing is to stop making excuses, y'all. When Jesus saw this guy and he asked him, do you want to be whole? What's the first thing that came out the man's mouth? An excuse. I got nobody to help me. Well, you know what? Did it ever occur to him? Maybe you should have asked somebody from the get-go to put your mat a little closer to the water. That way, when it's stirred up, you just roll off into it. No, he didn't even think like that. No, he was too busy being a victim. See, victims don't be coming up with stuff. So I'm just poor me. I'm a victim. No, you're not a victim. That's a lie. Nobody in here is a victim. Uh-uh. And this man had been living as a victim so long that when Jesus came up in his face, the first thing he did was give him an excuse for why he's like that.
Yeah.
Y'all, when we stop making excuses, we drop blaming things on us, ourselves, or somebody else, and we start taking ownership of our own stuff, then we're going to be on the way to getting unstuck.
Yes.
Y'all know who Michael Jordan is, right?
Yes.
Everybody in here should know who Michael Jordan is unless you've been living under a rock. I even know who Michael Jordan is. I don't like basketball like that. Well, anyway, he was one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived, right? Well, did you know that he was actually cut from his high school basketball team? When they cut you from the team, it's because you're not playing good. You get cut, right? Well, he could have given up. He could have played the victim. Oh, the coach don't like me. He's got it in for me. He don't really know me. He's racist. He don't like me. He's got favorites. But Michael Jordan didn't do that. You know what he did? He took ownership of his own deficiencies, his own stuff. He didn't make excuses. He got better. And guess what? He ended up with 6 NBA championships. If you want to get unstuck, you have to do the scary thing and let go of the excuses, y'all. Then you got to get up and move. That's my third point. If you want to be well, get up. God calls us to live a life of freedom. So he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could. That means there's no more excuses. No more excuses to live angry, resentful, prideful, thinking you can never change or that somebody else needs to change, not you. Look, y'all, I know change is scary and it's hard. But here's the deal. What God calls you to, he will give you the strength for. What God calls you to, he's going to give you the strength for it. But you have to be willing to, number one, believe that. Actually believe that. Make a move. And then let the power of the Holy Spirit help you get unstuck. You can't do it on your own. Y'all remember the story of David and Goliath? David was a little boy. And he had charged at Goliath. He totally squared up with Goliath, a giant. And all he had was a slingshot, a few little rocks, and he had some big faith, y'all. David was willing to do the scary thing. He didn't make excuses. Oh, man, this giant, he done killed all these grown men. He didn't do that. He squared up with Goliath because he truly believed that God would give him the strength to defeat that giant. And God did. He did. All it took was one stone to bring that big old giant down. David didn't need a rifle. He didn't need an AK-47. He didn't need none of that. He didn't need an army. All he needed was to be willing to do the scary thing, get up and move, and then trust God would give him the strength to do what he needed to do. If you want to get unstuck, you have to be willing to do the scary things and not make excuses. Remember this. Jesus gives us grace that we need. He gives you the grace you need when you need it, and it will always be more than enough for whatever you're facing. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect, basically, in our weaknesses. Here Jesus was encouraging the Apostle Paul. Because see, the Apostle Paul was struggling with some things, and Jesus was reminding him and encouraging him, hey, you can keep going because you've got my grace that's going to strengthen you and sustain you. And Paul listened. He listened to the voice of truth. If you want to get unstuck, you have to listen to the right voices. You got to listen to the right voices. You know, this man at the Pool of Bethesda, when he was healed, Jesus gave him some very clear instructions for what's next. And the man listened and obeyed. Yes. However, when all that happened, it caused some blowback from the religious people at the time. First of all, this always makes me kind of laugh. Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. Well, according to their rules, he wasn't supposed to do that, right? So Jesus was wrong for that. Then Jesus told the guy, okay, get going and take your mat with you. Well, the religious people had made up all these rules. So when they saw this man carrying his mat, that broke a rule. So here they're all worked up again. So far as these religious leaders were concerned, both Jesus and the man who was healed were breaking the rules, and that made them ungodly. You got to see the irony in that, y'all. How are you going to tell the king of the universe what he can and can't do? How are you going to tell God himself he's ungodly? Instead of recognizing the miracle and actually being happy for this man, these religious people were focused on how many of their rules had been broken. And you know what? This is exactly why Jesus had a problem with religiosity. You know, religiosity, those man-made church people rules where, you know, you got to do this or you got to do that or you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you're not going to be holy. You're not going to be right with God. And Jesus had a problem with that. And you want to know why? Because religious rules, religious posturing, they require action on our part if we're going to get right with God. Yeah. And the Bible says that we are only saved by the grace of God, and it is a free gift. It doesn't require us to do anything but receive it. The truth is, religious rules can never save you. All they are is a breeding ground for division and spiritual pride. And y'all know the Bible says God opposes pride. See, here at Pursuit Church, we don't fool around with all those rules. We take come as you are, be happy, be welcome. We're going to love on you. We preach the Bible. We teach the gospel of Jesus. Might make you a little uncomfortable sometimes. That's all right. We're going to love you through it. Encourage you through it. And then we're going to offer you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior and help you understand how to live it out, right? But if you don't choose Jesus, we're not telling you to get out. We don't have rules like that. We're going to keep praying for you. We're going to keep speaking life over you. Yeah, that's what we do here. We're going to keep encouraging you to listen to the voice of God. Because we know when you listen to the right voice, you won't stay stuck very long. Staying stuck happens when we're listening to the wrong voices, y'all. So you want to make sure you're listening to the right voices. Surround yourself with people who are going to speak the truth of God into your situation. People who are going to celebrate when good things happen in your life. And people who are going to come alongside you when you're struggling and they're going to pray for you. They're not going to judge you because of your weaknesses. Those are the people to do life with, y'all. Here's the truth. Who you're hanging out with matters, because you will never live past the level of your friends. If your friends are always speaking negativity, complaining, criticizing, whining, that's what you're going to end up being like too. That's not me saying that. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character. And then if you keep reading, it goes on to say, come back to your senses, because there's some people who are ignorant or don't want to know God. The Bible is saying that if you think you can change your unbelieving friends by modeling godly values and godly behavior, you are fooling yourself. You're not going to change their behavior, but theirs will absolutely corrupt yours. And, you know, I understand that making new friends, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially nowadays. People crazy. I know it's hard to make new friends. It's going to require some effort. But look here. God positioned you in a perfect place to be able to make new friends right here at Pursuit Church. There are lots of friendly, godly people. They love Jesus, just doing our best to follow Jesus. So hang out after service. Get to know each other. Surround yourself with people who are going in the same direction you are. Now, I don't want you to think I'm saying Jesus expects us to live in some kind of Christian bubble. That's foolish. How are we going to reach unbelievers if we don't surround ourselves with any of them, right? If we don't know any, right? But Jesus warns us very clearly against choosing unbelievers as our circle of friends. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you have wise people as your friends, you will become wise yourself. But if you have foolish friends, you're going to hurt yourself. That's the Bible, not me. The Bible is saying, yeah. I told y'all to buckle up. The Bible's saying who you hang out with is who you're going to become. Every parent in this room knows that. Every parent in this room knows that. So all of us need to know that. If you spend time with people who have a victim mentality, and let me, y'all know who some of them victims are. They're always struggling with something. They don't ever have victory or freedom in any area of their life. If you're hanging around with victims, just remember this. A victim mentality produces a victim identity, which leads to being part of a victim community that results in a victim destiny. If getting unstuck is your goal, make sure you're listening to the right voices. As long as that man was laying by the pool of Bethesda, listening to all the victim voices around him, he lived like a victim, y'all. But once he listened to the voice of Jesus, the right voice, he was healed. In fact, not only was he healed, but his strength was restored. Let me tell you why that's significant. Because this man needed strength to do what Jesus told him to do next. And that was to pick up his mat and walk. And you got to catch the mat thing too. When this guy picked up his mat, it showed that he had no intention of going back. Yeah, yeah. He was done with that life. So the only thing he was going to leave behind was his sickness. This man chose not to be a victim. He chose to stop being a victim. If you want to get unstuck, you got to make different choices, y'all. Proverbs 26:11 says that a foolish person, now this is really graphic, a foolish person is like a dog that returns to its vomit. Yeah. And you know why it's graphic? Because it's meant to wake us up. Yeah. Wake us up. When you decide to make a new start in life, you got to do things differently. Which means you're going to need a plan. Because if you've been doing something the same way a long time, you're not really going to know how to do something different. So you need a plan. And this is exactly why when someone makes a decision for Jesus here, we tell them, hey, stop by the prayer table back there. Get you a next steps brochure so you will know, because that's a plan. That's a plan. How are you going to live it out? In John 5:14, after Jesus healed the man, he told the man, he gave him a plan. Make sure you don't sin anymore. Otherwise, something worse might come on you. That was the plan. Go back and do things different now.
Yes. Yes.
Brandon, if you come, we can all breathe. You know, every single part of this day, God strategically lined up. I really want y'all to see that. You know, I was at the Freedom Conference yesterday. Pastor Bob and I were at some of the prayer team down on the front. And I was listening through the sessions, and I was like, man, they got my sermon. They stole my sermon because I had finished writing this on Thursday. So God was strategically lining things up because he wants us to get unstuck, all of us. He doesn't want us to stay stuck in our circumstances, stuck in pain, stuck in brokenness. That's not his plan for us. So if you want to get unstuck, and you're going to have to make some different choices, you're probably going to have to find a new friend group, y'all. Develop some godly habits like reading your Bible, praying daily. Prayer is just a conversation with God, y'all. You don't have to know all these fancy words. Just say, God, I love you. Help me. That's a prayer. That's a simple prayer. Pray every day. And then change the music you're listening to. Just start listening to just worship music. And see how it changes your perspective. Feed your soul. Feed your spirit. And here's a hard one for some people. You're going to have to avoid those same old places you used to hang out at. You know, back in the day, I used to love to dance. Tejano music, country music, disco. I don't know, they don't call it disco no more, but y'all get it. Y'all know what I mean. I loved it all. But one of the things I noticed when I became a true follower of Jesus is that hanging out in those kind of places wasn't a good idea for me. It tempted me to sin. It's a perfect environment for that. You got secular music playing, which really just glorifies sin when you really listen to it. There's a lot of alcohol. I was struggling with that. And there's even drugs if you want them. And there's always, always someone waiting to take you home. I knew if I was going to be able to stay free from all that mess that Jesus had saved me from, I couldn't go back to those kind of places anymore, y'all. And you know, actually letting go of those places was part of my plan. Once Jesus sets you free, you got to have a plan to stay free. You need a plan. If you are tired of being stuck, you can be free. It is possible. You know, expect it. Ask for it. Want it. Desire it. Jesus will meet you at your level of expectancy. Ask God to help you identify false assumptions that have been holding you back, and then get rid of them. Replace them with the truth found right here. God's Word. This is where you find the truth. It's not on TikTok. It's not on social. None of that mess is right here. And you know, I'm going to say something I've said before. And Charlie Kirk actually said this. You can look at the Bible on your phone all day long and twice on Sunday, but there is going to be a pop-up that's going to distract you. You open up this, there ain't no pop-up. the word of the Lord might pop out at you. But get yourself a paper Bible. You need to know the truth. And then be willing to ask yourself the hard questions. Do you really want to be whole and free? Remember, you can't get well against your will. You have to want it. And then be willing to do the scary things to get unstuck. If you need to break some generational curses, Jesus has your back. You don't have to do it alone. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Ask for strength and let go of the excuses. My mama, my daddy were like this. My grandmama was like this. This is the way my familia has always been. That don't have to be you. That don't have to be you. Let go of the victim mentality, y'all. Remember, whatever Jesus got you out of, he gives you the strength to stay free. Listen to the voice of truth. Listen to the right voices. Ask God to give you ears to hear his voice, his truth, and then block out the voices in the world that aren't lining up with his word. If you really want to get unstuck, the Lord will help you. Ask God to give you the courage you need to make different choices. Let new friends into your life. Be willing to let go of the ones who aren't going in the same direction you are. Get plugged into this community. God's already placed you here. If you'll do these things and trust God the whole way through, I believe and I decree that you will break free of those things that have been keeping you stuck, and you will be able to live in the victory that Jesus died for you to have. Amen. All right, will you bow your heads, please? Lord, I thank you for your word. It is truly sharper than a double-edged sword. Thank you for who you are, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You know what we need when we need it. Lord, I thank you for your presence here today. I just pray that your Holy Spirit rain down on every single soul here today, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Father. Bathe them in your spirit. Draw them into you. Draw them closer to you, Father. All of us, draw us all closer to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, for those that don't know you, you quicken their spirits and you draw them in. If you don't know Jesus, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've heard of him. You know, maybe you think you might know him because of something somebody said, but you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life. You've never asked him to come into your heart and to help you, to free you, to forgive you, and to bring you into a relationship with him. If you've never asked him, or maybe you have and you've gotten away from him, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can be free. You do not have to live stuck. You do not have to live broken, addicted, angry, hurt. That pain, what they did to you, you don't have to carry that in your heart anymore. You don't have to live as a victim. You're not a victim. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, but it's through Christ Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, all you got to do is pray a simple prayer. It's not the prayer. It's the heart behind it. You mean it with your whole heart. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new. I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.